Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word, that we may declare the mystery of Christ, for which I am in prison, so that I may reveal it clearly as I should. Conduct yourselves wisely toward outsiders, making the most of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be God.
I'm not sure how many of you like to cook, enjoy cooking, or never dare to step into the kitchen for that purpose. I like to cook and like to pretend to cook. And when I cook, occasionally I make things that people enjoy eating, so it works out pretty well. But there's a few things in the kitchen that I consider my go-to spices. And I don't want to give any free advertising, any free marketing, but for example, I have a particular brand of Creole, Cajun spice, that if I'm making something and it just needs a little bit of something and I'm not sure what, I grab that and I throw some of it in. And if I'm making something this time of year and it just needs to have a little taste of fall, then allspice is one of those go-to spices. You're thinking, maybe a little cinnamon, maybe a little nutmeg, not real sure. Just grab the allspice. In fact, I thought up until this week that allspice was just a combination of three spices. And you can kind of fake allspice with that, but allspice is a legitimate spice all of its own, off of a tree down in southern Mexico, in that area. But it was called allspice because it has the taste of multiple spices all combined into that one. And what I would say about that is that, oh, and there's a nice, lovely picture of allspice. What I would say about that is that there are things in our Christian life, there are ways that we are called to live our faith that are some kind of go-to attitudes, go-to lifestyles that are given to us in the Scriptures. And we're going to look at that, at one of those today. And today we're going to look at gracious speech as one of those go-to attitudes, one of those go-to ways of living. I don't have to tell you this. We know this, that what we speak and the things that we say and the way we say them have a tremendous impact on our lives and the lives of those around us, on the relationships that we're in, on many, many levels. Yet, even though we would all hopefully agree to that, it's so easy at times to fall into a pattern of not speaking the way we know we should be speaking, not conversing the way we know we should be conversing in ways that are honoring to God. And just to kind of reiterate the importance of this and some of what Scriptures say in another place, I want to read to you from James chapter 3. And the letter of James has a way of not mincing words, kind of gets right to the point. And this is one of those types of passages. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistake in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with the bridle. If we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. And these two verses are really what I want us to glean from these. With the tongue, we bless the Lord and Father. And with it, we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives or grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. This idea of from the tongue, we can both bless the Father, bless the Lord, yet with it also curse those who are made in the likeness of God, which is all of humanity, all of creation. Blessing God on one hand, and with the same tongue, cursing those made in God's likeness. And the writer of James says, my brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. This is one of those ultimate forms of hypocrisy that I'm not sure we talk enough about or think enough about, even though we see the impacts of this in our lives, in the lives around us. Why is this such an important issue? Aside from the fact that we see relationships around us, maybe even relationships we're in, often destroyed, whether temporarily or permanently, by things that are said, there's other reasons this is important. There's a greater underlying thing going on here. And so the answer to the why question, because we're on a mission from God. That's why we're here. That's why God has called us. That's why God has raised us up. Our lives are about something bigger and greater than ourselves. And Colossians 4 begins to speak to this. Paul's saying, pray for us that open doors, that we have open doors, that we can declare the mystery of the gospel, the good news in Christ, for which he is at that time, while writing this letter, in prison, so that he can reveal it clearly, as he should. And then he says, conduct yourselves wisely toward outsiders. This all has to do with us communicating the good news of the gospel to the world. Making the most of our time, let our speech always be gracious. Reminded me of Paul in 2 Corinthians. This is chapter 5, verse 20. So we are ambassadors for Christ. God is making his appeal to the world through us. Think about that. God's appeal, God's communication, what God desires the world to hear comes through you and through me. That's how God has chosen to get the message of Christ to the world. And so all of those things we've learned from Christ's life, through his teachings like the Beatitudes, the things that Scripture tells us we can receive from the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and gentleness, we know these. We could probably sing them. All of these gifts from the Lord are given to us for the purpose of being ambassadors, of communicating to the world, of making God's appeal of the gospel to those around us. And when we represent Jesus Christ to the world, that means that everything we do and everything we say is received by the world as coming from Jesus Christ himself. Think about that for, I mean, there's a lot of weight in that reality. At many points in time, as I worked through this week, I thought, thank you, Jesus, for your grace and mercy and forgiveness upon my life. But that doesn't give us an excuse to not pursue a lifestyle pleasing to the Lord. I don't know how many times, I mean, you guys know this because I often quote them. I'll feel like God laid something on my heart at the beginning of the week, I'll start working on that. I'm wrestling through it. Usually I start to question whether or not that was from God, and that's what God wants me to share on Sunday morning. And I receive these daily emails from Henry Nouwen. I just want to read two of them that I received on Friday, and then another one yesterday morning as I was finishing putting this together. The first one was called Healing Letters. When you write a very angry letter to a friend who has hurt you deeply, don't send it. Let the letter sit on your table for a few days and read it over a number of times. And then ask yourself, will this letter bring life to me and my friend? Will it bring healing? Will it bring a blessing? You don't have to ignore the fact that you are deeply hurt. You don't have to hide from your friend that you feel offended. But you can respond in a way that makes healing and forgiveness possible and opens the door for new life. Rewrite the letter if you think it does not bring life, and then send it with a prayer for your friend. That was Friday. Here's yesterday's email. Words are very important. When we say to someone, you're an ugly, useless, despicable person, we might have ruined the possibility for a relationship with that person for life. Now, we're all saying, well, of course. But if we're honest, we might not use those exact words, but we say those things through our actions, through our gestures, through our facial expressions. We communicate those things when we live out of our brokenness. Words can continue to do harm for many years. And I would add to that, as a person who sits and listens to people's stories, many generations, decades. I've had people sit and tell me stories, and we're talking about words that hurt them 25, 30 more years ago. The power of these words. It is so important to choose our words wisely. When we are boiling with anger and eager to throw bitter words at our opponents, it is better to remain silent. Words spoken in rage will make reconciliation very hard. Choosing life and not death, blessings and not curses, often starts by choosing to remain silent or choosing carefully the words that open the way to healing. And what I would say is, when in doubt about what to say, choose gracious speech or choose to be silent. Because our calling, in that same passage I showed you from 2 Corinthians, our calling as ambassadors in Jesus Christ is to carry out the ministry of reconciliation of God with this world. And so we want our words and our movements to always move us with others towards life, towards blessing, towards reconciliation, towards healing. And if we're not sure our words are going to move us in that direction, we're better off to remain silent. Now, on the theme of questions, who, when, where, like, does this scripture apply to? Well, the who is all of us. All of us. Especially those of us who profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In verse 5, Paul takes this from being about himself to being about all of us when he says, conduct yourselves wisely. He makes it plural, and he pulls all of us into these verses. When are we to act this way? All the time. He says, making the most of the time. In other words, every situation, every moment that we're in relationship with others are moments where we're either moving towards blessing or moving away from blessing, based on our interaction and our words with Him. Our faith does not get turned on and off. Even if we think it does, it doesn't. It doesn't happen. Our witness does not get turned on and off. It's not like we can walk out the door and declare, I'm not a Christian today, world, so don't take anything that I have to say or do seriously. And then the next day say, you know, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm going to live out my faith today, so the things I say to you, I take them to heart. No, when we've professed Christ in our life, and when those around us know that, every action, every word, every deed either moves people towards an understanding of blessing with Jesus or moves them away from that. Again, thank you, Lord, for forgiveness and grace and mercy. But help us live our lives this way because it's so important. Where? Everywhere. With our spouses, the words we speak help move us, but also help move them towards or away from Jesus Christ. Our kids, our grandkids, those kids in our neighborhood, we are representatives to them of Jesus Christ. We are as real as it gets. And so our actions, our expressions, our words communicate to them things that they believe to become true of the Lord and how the Lord looks upon them. Our friendships, our family, our co-workers, our teachers, our students, we can go on and on. And the point isn't to make us feel badly or to put burdens on our lives, but just awaken us to the impact and the power that we have to either be a blessing or a curse to those around us with our words. This is where it gets real. Are there areas of our lives that we still need to give over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? My answer to that is yes. Only you can answer that question for yourself. But I'm going to give you a hint, and the answer is yes. We are called to take up the cross daily. To daily live our lives. And it's hard to choose silence, and it's hard to choose grace. But those are the sufferings of this life that we're called to take upon us for the greater good and purpose of proclaiming the message of the gospel to the world. Are we living fully and wholly for Him? I even wrote again on this page, thank you, Jesus, for grace and mercy and forgiveness. But help us to understand how we can begin to live this way. And so I just want to share a couple thoughts about that. This passage begins with prayer. Verse 2 says to be in prayer. And there's kind of two things going on here. And the thing I'll say this is in my own life, when I'm being intentional about my walk in relationship with the Lord, when I'm spending significant, and that, I mean, that's a hard word, but for me, what is significant time in communication with the Lord, in listening, in speaking, in prayer, I notice in those times the Lord gives me words. The Lord does direct me. The Spirit helps me to know when to speak and when to remain silent. And so in those times, I can have a boldness because I feel in tune with the Spirit and have a better sense of when to speak and not to speak. But in those times in my lives where I get out of those patterns and out of those routines and I don't feel like, whether it's for a day or a week or whatever, I've been in good communication with the Lord, I struggle to know what to say and when to say it. And in those times, we're better to choose silence. But the prayer and the ongoing communication with the Lord can become the key to this. It's that connection with God that helps us discern these things. Paul asked for prayers for two things. One is for open doors. Open doors and so that the gospel can be communicated, so that evangelism can happen. And we should be praying for that in people's lives. But I also believe that we could be praying for open doors for healing and for reconciliation and for opportunities to have these conversations that we put off because we're not sure we're doing it in grace, that God will open doors for us to be able to have them in time with grace. Healthy conversations that move us all towards blessing, towards reconciliation, and towards health. And I felt compelled to say this morning, and I say it by also offering to you my cell phone, Most of you know that number, and if you don't, I'll give it to you afterwards. There's a million people that will be watching this online this week. I don't want the whole world to have it, or else I would just tell it to you. When you're in those moments and you are enraged, and you know that what you're about to speak are words of anger, call me and put it on me. Pray to the Lord. Put it on the Lord. Don't put it on one another. And don't put it on Facebook. I know you're laughing. I'm watching relationships be destroyed on this network. Because we get mad and all of a sudden we pull out our phone and boom, and it might make us feel better, but the only reason we would do that is to bring hurt on another person, to bring humiliation into their lives in front of the world. And this is about as practical as I could make it this morning. We can do better than that. When in doubt, don't go there. Let it die down. Call me. And so we pray for open doors, for that healing. We pray for opportunities for evangelism, because as we speak generously, as we speak graciously, as we live in and with love, we are given opportunities to share the source of that with those that we're in relationship with. We pray in and with thanksgiving. This is how Paul begins this passage, to especially pay attention to being thankful. As we devote ourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. And I want to read just one verse from Matthew. I find it quickly. Matthew chapter 15, verse 18. Now the context of this passage is what makes a person defiled, and they're wrestling through the idea of what foods they can and can't eat. But this verse within that context still speaks to an important truth. But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this is what defiles. If we want to get to the source of what comes out of our mouth, we need to get here, to our hearts, to those things that we're dwelling upon. And so what I would say this morning is to pray and have an attitude of thanksgiving helps us begin to transform our hearts in such a way that we begin to speak out of a place of blessing. Being thankful for our relationships. Being thankful for our jobs and our workplaces. Being thankful for our possessions, our love of Christ, the forgiveness, the grace, the mercy that we have in Jesus. When we begin our day thinking about those things, it makes it so much easier to live our lives out of a positive place, out of a place of blessing. To put everything else around us in perspective so that we don't react out of anger. Because we're becoming more and more secure in that which we have in Jesus. And this becomes really difficult for us because we live in a culture of not enough. I don't know if you've heard that before. A culture of not enough. That's our culture today. We don't have enough, dot, dot, dot. I don't have enough, dot, dot, dot. And you can fill in the blank with 100 different words. But that becomes our attitude. And if we don't feel like we have enough of things, then we forget to be thankful for that which we have. And if we're living into that culture of not enough, it skews our perspective on our relationships, on our world, on our jobs, on our homes. Again, fill in the blank. And we live that culture, and we live that perspective, and that becomes a place of negativity. And so when we're living out of an attitude of negativity, of course our speech is going to be that which is negative. And this was my personal conviction with this week. I mean, there's a lot of things within this that I was like, oh, Forgive me, Lord, help me. But when it comes to this culture of not enough and just giving into that temptation of always feeling like there needs to be more and I need more and especially that I need to be more, I mean, that's probably one of my greatest wrestles in life right now, in living out my faith. And when we live that way, we end up having what I would call this Jesus plus theology, which is a phrase that many of you have probably heard. It's like, you know, Jesus, I'm good, we're good, but I'm still not enough, so I need to do this to earn your love. I mean, we're good, this faith we have, but I need to have faith in you and do this to prove that love, to prove my value in your eyes, to prove my value to the world. And there's no place for Jesus plus theology in the kingdom of God. Because the foundation of the kingdom of God is to come into a relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And at that moment, Christ's righteousness clothes us. And you and me and every one of us is enough as we are secured in Christ in the eyes of the Father right now in this moment. We don't need more. We don't need to be more. We are secure in the love of the Father in Jesus Christ. And so I believe that the foundation of gracious speech becomes this attitude of thankfulness that's rooted in the thankfulness we have to God for that which I just stated, for the security, for the love, for all the blessings we have in Jesus Christ. And then as we allow that to flow over into all the other areas of our lives, that thankfulness will begin to change our hearts. And out of our hearts will become speech that is gracious, speech that is merciful, speech that is loving, because it comes out of that place in our hearts where we've received all of those things from our God and our Father. So here's my personal challenge. If you see me later this week, ask me if I've done this in this challenge that I'm inviting you into, is that each day this week, beginning today, whether it's morning, evening, or sometime in the afternoon, that we would take 10 to 15 minutes and in a prayerful attitude, just begin to list the things for which we are thankful to God. Some of you may do this already. But if not, just invite us as a community to spend 10 to 15 minutes each day this week to begin to list the things for which we're thankful. And next week when we gather together, I'll be interested to see if it's changed our perspective. I want to invite you to begin that process now. We're going to take a few minutes of reflection and prayer time. You can just spend with the Lord processing what you've heard and allowing the Spirit to place upon your hearts that which the Spirit desires to seal. And begin that process of listing those things for which you're thankful to God today. Let's spend a few minutes in prayer.